Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Jason Wilde.
Is there anything anybody loves more than agreeing with Tauscher?
Packers Hall of Famer, Mark Tauscher.
I got a hunch this isn't going to be concise either.
Broadcasting live from the Everlight Solar Studio.
I would say that you are pretty easygoing. You're actually probably more easygoing than I am.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Well, there's no, you're not easygoing at all.
Hey!
On 100.5 ESPN, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand.
Wednesday edition, the best day of the week. I mean, look, I think our show's pretty good all 5 days, but Wednesdays are special. It's Hump Day, and it's Bulaga Day, and it's Homer
Day. They
don't
even let Ron Wolf join. That's how good Wednesdays are.
Yeah, there's only one person who said that yesterday. Edition.
Now, how's Ron doing?
He's good. He's a big fan of you.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of his.
Yeah, you should be. He gave you your opportunity. You earned it, though. You earned it. But he did give you the opportunity.
I thank Ron all the time. I don't know.
When's the last time you thanked him? Like, well, maybe tomorrow.
I don't know why you're coming. I sent him a really nice note way back in the day. How many times do you want to thank somebody? Like,
every year on the anniversary of it, I think would be good.
He changed your life. Exactly.
Every year?
Yeah, handwritten letter. Wow. Handwritten letter every year on the day you were drafted.
Yep. How's your handwriting? How's your penmanship?
Not great.
Okay, well, maybe you can get Riley to write it for you. Edition of Wilde and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5 ESPN Madison, 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam, ESPNWisconsin.com, the ESPN app, your Alexa smart speaker, streaming live video, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and of course everything you need on WisconsinOnDemand.com and the Wisconsin On Demand app. I'm Jason Wilde in Green Bay. Packers getting ready for their matchup with the 500 San Francisco 49ers, the team that has ended three of their last five seasons in the postseason. Jesse Nelson is in the Everlight Solar ESPN Madison studios and from his undisclosed location, the man who owes it all to Ron Wolf. He is the Packers Hall of Famer. He is Mark Tauscher. Tausch, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing good, Jason. How are you this morning?
I'm very good, but I know you sent Jesse on a errand, so I'm hoping we can get what you were looking for so we can discuss that later
that
in the show.
Oh, I thought you were going to throw it to me now, and I didn't want to put Jesse in a bad spot. So I'm not going to go that route. I will pay off my tease from yesterday, though.
And you remember it?
Wow.
I do. Yeah, I wrote it down right next to my happy birthday mom. I wrote it down.
78 years young.
Did she have a good birthday yesterday?
What'd you guys do? Did you take her out to dinner?
I don't live right next to her, so no. I called her, and my brother took her out to dinner, and it sounds like a basketball game. I'm not going to get into it. There's a fun little twist there. I think they played a school that was – I don't even know. No, I'm not going to go down that road. I'm not because I don't know all the details. But anyways – she went and watched her grandchildren play sports, which I think she probably likes more than anything. They didn't quite get it done against a team that maybe doesn't hear at all. So when you do all that, my dad used to always say that you'd play the a blind team. You know, if you didn't win any games, and it would be like, let's play the blank school of the blank and blank or whatever.
Right.
And last night, that was one of the first times I'd actually ever heard a team actually play.
The Milwaukee School squad. For the Deaf or something to that effect. Yeah.
Something of that nature, yeah. And I asked my mom, I said, how did they communicate and things? And she said it was really fascinating to watch. And that team beat this team. And I'm not even 100% sure what school, but that's where we're at. So it was a good battle. Sounds like everybody played well and played hard, but the school of the deaf came away with a big win.
Sounds to me like you farm out your mom's birthday to the academy just like you do headlines.
Well, you could say a lot of stuff. That's a road. Trust me, you ought to start delving into family. Jason, I'd love to hit where you're at all that. That would be probably much better than where I'm at.
We'll save that for a digi only. It'll be brief, I can tell you that. So I'm glad that she had a great birthday. She is an amazing woman. I know I've mentioned this many.
But you don't think she's a Hall of Famer, huh?
You know, I didn't say that. I think she's a special contributor.
That's what you're
implying. No, I think she's a special contributor. Which you don't have to worry about any of my family being in that class. So
fair enough.
I would just say this. For those that don't know, Tausch's dad, Denny, and his mom, Diane, traveled to a lot of his games when he was playing. And Tom Oates, columnist emeritus of the Wisconsin State Journal, and myself, and John Mason,
Tom's
usually.
Been very, by the way, I love Tom Oates. Tom Oates is a great, just a good dude. Like,
yeah,
if you know
wonderful.
Tom,
as long as he's not on deadline.
Very well-versed in Wisconsin sports. Wait, how many years has he been retired now?
Too long. He does a podcast.
He is throwing fastballs. There is a. Yeah. He is still.
It's like Nolan Ryan.
A lot of smoke lately.
Yeah.
He's throwing a lot of smoke lately.
Anyway,
sure.
Somehow, at least multiple times per season, either on our way to the team's destination or on our way back from said destination for road games, we were always on the Tauscher family flight. So I actually got to know Denny and Diane way better than probably any other set of parents of any player, addition to being your unofficial biographer. And so, yes, she's fantastic. I'm glad we were able to pin down how old she was and celebrate her and discuss what her induction might look like into the Wilde and Tausch Hall of Fame. And I'm glad that she had a lovely birthday.
That's good.
Especially after her son said, "Oh, I don't want to say how old she is." And then when you figured out, yeah, she's 78. So,
well, in fairness, she texted me about how old she was. So, and then she actually willed it. And I talked to her yesterday, and she said, "You didn't even know." And I said, "Well, I was in the ballpark." I said, "You weren't 80, and you weren't quite." And she corrected my own, because I said 76, 77. And she said, "You never said 78. And I said, "I'll have to go back and check the tape." And
I told you I liked her
in not quite so real time.
I'm glad she had a great birthday, and we appreciate her support of our show.
She doesn't think I'm a shill for the Packers, though. I did. She did mention
All right. No. Okay.
No.
So
Tommy. No. I don't want to get. I'm good. I just wanted to bring that up.
So. Okay.
Can I get to my point? My tease, or do you want to go into how?
No, there's a shill in the air. You just go right ahead.
There you go. There is a shill. So you wrote a really good article. It should have been a Sunday article about Christian Watson, and I think it's in tomorrow's State Journal.
It's in this morning.
The print edition. I think it's in tomorrow's print, though.
Oh,
today's
is it?
Today's digital.
Hmm.
I actually have no idea, and you know I don't have any idea.
Okay.
But
why am I listening to you?
The Christian Watson growth arc and where he's at, I think, has been really good.
Uh-huh.
And how he handled Romeo Doubs and all that stuff. So you're always looking for young players to kind of show that growth. And I teased out yesterday that there is another player that I think we maybe haven't given the right amount of love to from a growth standpoint.
Mm.
And who do you think? So Christian Watson, definitely. Lucas Van Ness, I wish I would have seen. I've seen more. I haven't. Who do you think I'm going to say?
Who do I think has shown so much growth and has not gotten credit for it?
Gotten the love. Yeah. Yeah.
Can you give me an offense or defensive hint at
offensive
least?
Player. Yep, I was just going to say that. He's an offensive player.
An offensive player. You're not going to tell me Tucker Kraft.
No.
Because he's gotten
Tucker
lots
Kraft's
of love.
A dog. Yeah, he's loved all over the place.
And you're not going to tell me you're not.
Why don't you just tell me who I am going to say instead of you're going to go through a list of 10 guys?
You're not going to tell me Zach Tom because that's not an issue on this program.
He's a dog.
I couldn't be more in love with Zach Tom. Are you saying I'm just trying to understand the parameters before I give my answer? Are you saying on this show
you're not going to say Josh Jacobs?
No, I'm not. I'm not going to say Josh Jacobs that way.
So we're
either.
Now going to turn this into a let's just go through who we're not going to say you find
No. I just wanted to understand, is it our show or is it the fan base writ large that is not delivering
writ large.
Rashid Walker.
Yes, you nailed it. Thank you. You're not going to say Rashid Walker.
Here's the thing. You could argue that those guys beyond our show probably don't. Like, there's no way Zach Tom gets anything close to the amount of love that he gets on this show with two former right tackles.
And I would agree.
While I'm sure there are people that recognize, like Tucker Kraft has been quiet the last several weeks, I might add. I don't even know if he was targeted other than on the interception on Sunday. But again, the South Dakota and everything we got going on here, those two guys, I'm not sure the greater love is as nearly as high as it is here. So that's why I wanted to clarify. And then sure. Rashid Walker. Yes. Why do you feel like Sheed isn't getting the love?
Well, I'm not saying he's not getting the love. I'm saying he has shown a lot of growth in where he's at in his career. Here you have a seventh round pick. Hold up. Let me
explain. Seventh round pick. Jesse, he said he wasn't getting enough love, right? I didn't mishear that.
Sorry, I've been listening to Paul Feinbaum audio for the last 10 minutes, sure. But okay, I think I found what we're
Jesse,
looking for.
So, here is the deal, Jason. Yesterday I teased. Uh-huh. You were talking. I said growth. I don't think anyone has. And by saying someone has really shown a lot of growth, uh-huh. that in turn means I'm showing them love and that you're getting that appreciation that you're getting. Sure. So it goes hand in hand. But the premise of the conversation yesterday was someone that has really taken a step both professionally and personally as far as how they're doing their business. Okay. That is what I was talking about. And I think we've seen a lot. You know, obviously, you know, what Christian did through the Romeo Doubs incidents and how he led and everything else. But I just think, and the reason this kind of popped into my head is, and I apologize for the Twitter folks that I don't cite when they tweet at me because I don't bookmark stuff. Uh-huh. Someone sent me a note about how many pressures, sands, and sacks Rashid Walker's given up. Mm-hmm. Not a ton. Mm-hmm. And what he's been able to do with, oh, is he good enough to play? He's got a platoon with old boy last year. Well, he takes that job. Oh, they draft Jordan Morgan. He's going to take that job. Jordan Morgan basically said, I'm going to be the left tackle to J&G.
He did say
And you
that,
see though. Rashid Walker, none of that bothered him. He comes on that tailgate tour. He jumps on our show. You would have thought that he's the, you know, not the non-disputed champ on a left tackle spot. That's what you would have thought. It never fazed him. He's in there from day one. He doesn't miss practice. He's not missing work. He doesn't miss reps. He doesn't miss games. And he just goes about his business and he shuts down really good players. Now, is he perfect? He's not. But is he a really good NFL left tackle? Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And you factor all that in with now he's getting involved in the community and he's just that guy. Mm-hmm. I think we talk about all this other stuff, and the beautiful part for Sheed, how many times have we even brought him up? He doesn't have he's had penalties early in the season. He's
we did
cleaned
bring him
that
up then. Mm-hmm.
And we have not talked about him in 2 months. The longest month ever of October, I don't think we ever brought his name up. He's doing bowling outings. And I think when I'm talking about growth and Christian Watson, I just thought with that tweet being a reminder.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we've given Sheed enough credit and or love for what he's done in these 2 years. And with all of the draft talk yesterday and the disappointments that some fans have with Goody's picks,
mm-hmm.
he nailed it with the Sheed. And Sheed has been fantastic for what we've asked him to do.
Well, not only that, but when you make those picks, like with you, right? I mean, you're a great example of this. Or Micah Hyde, who was a sixth-round pick or a fifth-round pick? I think he was a fifth-round pick out of Iowa.
Evan Williams or Micah Hyde?
Well, one in the same. Evan Williams went one draft round ahead of him. But my point is if you miss on someone, if you have someone else, it's like the Brett Conway, Ryan Longwell, your classmate in the class of 2000.
Brock Purdy, Trey Lance.
Sure. So if you cover yourself when you make a mistake, then the mistake isn't nearly as painful for your roster. The problem comes in when you get something wrong and you don't get something else right to make up for it, or you get something kind of right and then you pay the player a large sum of money and then he's taking up a big chunk of your salary cap and not performing. So Goody has avoided most of those scenarios, even though, like Ron Wolf, he has missed on a fair number of first-round picks, or at least not gotten what you would hope to get out of first-round picks. Now, we'll see what Jordan Morgan becomes, but I'm fascinated that you use the 25th overall pick on a guy that they sure seem like they see him as a guard, right? Like they've played him at guard. Yep. And obviously his rookie season has been injury derailed. But now that they've seen enough from Rashid Walker, it sure seems like they don't have any plans on playing Jordan Morgan at tackle. My question for you is this now, because I brought up the paying people. We know Zach Tom is a dog, as you just stated. You got to pay him.
Yes.
Do you have to pay Rashid Walker, too?
Well, you have another year where you don't have to worry about it.
Mm-hmm.
And then do I think they're going to pay a top-notch right tackle dollar, and they're going to try and get Zach Tom for less than what Penei Sewell got?
Mm-hmm.
We'll see how that shakes out. And I would be shocked if those conversations aren't happening right now. I would think that Zach Tom is at the top of the list. With Romeo's situation, how it played out, I thought that they would attack and try to get him done. I don't think Romeo Doubs, I just don't envision that. I don't, for as much as you can say move on and everything else, I'll believe that when I see it. I think this case, Zach Tom, I would think if you can use that cap money before the end of the season, it should be used on Zach Tom. And then once you do that, then you figure out you can start piecing things together, and if Sheed has another great year next year, you don't let good young players walk out your building.
No, unless
ask
you're the Giants.
New York football Giants. God. It's true. It's true.
You also don't let cold air blow into your building if you have Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Yeah, and don't spend another winter shivering with that wind howling through your windows. Take advantage of this deal at Pella. No interest, no payments. It's pretty good wind today. And no payments for those 12 months. Keep your home comfortable. Save on those ever-rising energy bills. Thanks to customizable windows and doors from Pella. Pella can design them to look like they've been a part of your home throughout its history. Visit PellaWI.com today to learn more. Certain restrictions to apply. This offer ends at the end of November.
We'll get ready for Brian Bulaga. He's scheduled to appear at 9:30. So stick around. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
I remember the nights when we were young, dumb, and wild and free. When I closed my eyes, I could see you in my sweatshirt, dancing around that college bar. These days I don't know where you are, but I get to keep these memories forever.
Getting ready for Brian Bulaga.
Jason, how do you think Sheed is viewed right now, just as from a beat writer standpoint, from a fan standpoint, how do you think, what's the, give me the sentence to describe Rashid Walker.
Steady. Guy that does his job. Not flashy. Not a big personality like his predecessor at that position. Just gets the job done.
Okay. It's good qualities to have.
Yeah. You know who that sounds like?
Cliffy?
No. No, Cliffy, boring.
Dang.
You
know what's funny about that? There is nobody I played with that's less boring.
Right, but I had a point. If I may finish,
Del Griffith, it's good to have a beginning.
Yeah.
It makes it
so much more interesting for the listener. Like a chatty Cathy now. Bah, bah, bah. We got to pair that up with Steve Martin since Thanksgiving is coming and see how close I got.
Proud of this town. You know, that's a damn rare thing these days.
But he always chose to be so boring with us as reporters, and I knew he had more of that in him, but he just kept it under wraps. You were really interesting, and then you came back, and then you were just absent. Like, you did not want... You, savvy veteran, just didn't come into the locker room at all. We wore you out early in your career, Wisconsin guy. Yes,
there, I'm going to say this. There was never a time after a game that I was not available, that I played in, that I was not available. Ever.
It's true. During the week, not very available.
Nah, I didn't. Listen, man, if I didn't have something to give you guys, and you didn't.
Time on the training table, I had to get ready for practice.
Well, it took a lot to get out to practice at that point in my career. And if I'm not going to give you guys, why would I waste your time? If you wanted to request, I'd come do it. But I wasn't going to give you guys anything, so it didn't pay
That's not
for me
true.
To be out there.
No, I always got something from you, but okay. You just Maybe. Couldn't help yourself, much like on this show. All right, we need to get to Brian Bulaga, because I like to make sure that we maximize our time with him. So why don't you tell us about Kohler Services so we can actually get to him on time?
Hey, that would be nice. Jason's doing a remodel of the show clock, and if you need a bath or shower remodel, turn to Kohler Services. Family-owned for 150 years, Kohler is your Wisconsin manufacturer, providing care for life, and this month only. Zero interest financing for 12 months, and you don't get to hear me sing anymore, but you get $1,000 off your Lugstone shower remodel. So you get zero interest financing, 12 months, and $1,000 off your Lugstone shower remodel. Visit KohlerServicesWI.com to request your free quote with fast professional installation. Well, that is always included. Again, KohlerServicesWI.com.
Brian Bulaga joins us.
I kind of miss not having a free shower door. I'm not going to
lie. A free shower door.
It'll be back at some point. It always comes back.
Thank you.
Well, you can reach out to Doug, see if he can find a way to fit that into the budget for Kohler Services, just so you can sing. But I don't know if that's how business works.
You can come up with a new song.
Don't do this, Brian. We're going
to get
sidetracked.
Bulaga. Let's go.
Brian Bulaga joins us next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
Wildy and Tausch is brought to you by Tito's Handmade Vodka. Tito's makes the good stuff for good times. Find recipes, videos, and more at titosvodka.com.
I've got some famous friends you probably never heard of. But back in Rutherford County, our crowd is second to none. You might not know them here in this big city we're in. But when I go back home, I've got some famous friends.
America needs farmers. I think he won an award from them. And Wildy and Tausch.
My buddy Jason, he's a sheriff.
Brian Bulaga. Brian, good morning. How are you?
Good, guys. How we doing?
We are fabulous. When I say Rashid Walker, you say what?
The left tackle of the Green Bay Packers.
Wow. Okay. Thank you. That's factual.
Do you mean based on his play? as of last week, or what are you looking for?
Yeah,
I can help. I just want to know what you're looking for.
No, I know you can help. Well, that was kind of how Tausch posed it to me, is just, you know, when you think of him, what do you think of? Because he certainly is not David Bakhtiari. Right?
No.
Not a colorful personality. And he's not a five-time All-Pro either, in fairness. So what do you think of him in terms of his persona, his play, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera?
Yeah, so, I mean, I got to know him a little bit on the tailgate tour this last spring, which he is a quiet guy. He's a little more reserved, maybe because he didn't know me, so he was maybe a little more reserved around me compared to maybe Elton, who I played with and I had a, you know, friendship with him. But he was a nice kid, really nice kid. He seemed like he was a very, you know, driven individual that really wanted that job, that left tackle spot, which he earned it in training camp fairly early, if we all remember, right? I mean, that position was called almost week two in camp, essentially.
Yeah, earlier than the election.
Yeah, exactly, which was, you know, I mean, when was that? 2 weeks ago? election talk.
Whoa, Nelly!
But
in fairness, California still has, like, almost all of their stuff still out. They haven't even come
back. Whoa, Nelly!
You asked! I didn't bring it up.
Whoa, but I'm just saying, Nelly!
I didn't ask.
I think Pennsylvania is still counting votes in a Senate race.
There's a lot of stuff going on. All right, Blue. Here we go.
But anyway, back to the left tackle.
There we go.
Back to the left tackle.
Next up on WTMJ, Bulaga and Will be break down the Senate races.
Yeah. Oh, it's fun.
It's fraud if we're losing. Anyway, go ahead, please.
Whoa, Nelly!
But,
Rasheed Walker.
Yeah.
Yeah, Rasheed.
I just heard Whoa, so, Nelly, right, like 100
so,
times.
I'm going to reset and let you go. So here's basically where I was coming from the first half hour of the show. Jason wrote an article about Christian Watson, who I think we all agree, obviously had a monster game, but the way he handled that Romeo Doubs situation – in his growth as a player, but really as a dude and a guy in that locker room. I think he took ownership of that room when someone needed to.
Uh-huh.
And then his play and everything else. And my point was, and somebody tweeted this at me, that Rasheed Walker has been real steady. He's not given up a ton of stuff. You know, he's gotten those penalties that he had in the beginning of the season. He's cleaned that up. Uh-huh. And with him taking that on, it's not easy. Jordan Morgan is drafted. He basically comes out and says, I'm going to be the left tackle during mini camps. And she just kind of sat there like, okay, yeah, that's cute, but no, it's my job. And he's, you know, gotten involved in the community. And I think he has been one of those guys we hadn't talked about. And Blue, as an O lineman, that's a great place to be when nobody's saying, because you're just out there getting your job done. That's kind of the premise of what we're talking about with Sheed this morning.
Yeah, I mean, and you're 100% right. I think early on in the season, we all talked about it. I mean, I think there were a lot of penalty issues. I think he gave up a couple cheap sacks and hits early on in the season. I think that was talked about, and I think the conversation was like, what's going on? Is he going to be all right? Was this the right – and it was like, all right, it's early. Like, let him – you know, there's a lot of pressure at left tackle, regardless what we think about the left and right tackles, you know, debate these days of – what position is what it means, right? Like, there's still a lot of pressure on the left tackle. And for a guy that you don't want to say he's looking over his shoulder, but he's going to be looking over his shoulder because they drafted a first round pick. He said he's going to be like, there's pressure with that, right? So you have to expect and give him a little bit of time to build into the season as well. Everyone gets time to build in the season, and he made mistakes early on. But as of late, like you said, you haven't heard much. And I literally, before I jumped on this, I spun through the tape one more time just to go over, because I had a feeling we'd be talking O-line, so I wanted to watch. And he consistently showed up really well on tape. He showed up really well. He had a couple bad runs, But from a pass blocking perspective, he did really well. He had a really nice day. So to your point, under the radar is good for offensive linemen. If your name's not getting called, that's a good thing. If your number's not getting called on TV, that's a really good thing. If you play in these big time games or marquee matchups where you got the main broadcast and Tom Brady or Collinsworth isn't circling your matchup on, you know, the teleprompter and saying, look what's happening out here, that's a good thing. Because most of the time, if they're circling it, that means you're getting whooped. And that's not happening with him. So it's a credit to him, because a lot of the times, I mean, Tausch, you know this, when things, especially early on in the season, when things go negatively for offensive linemen, there's a chance that can spiral and snowball, right? And the way Green Bay has done things in the past, they're very quick to rotate. Right, they're very quick to say, hey, if you're not getting it done, we're going to platoon now. We're going to rotate in and out and see who can battle for this job. And Green Bay stuck to it, obviously, and he fought through it and played his way out of it. And he's been very solid. So, like, credit to him. I think he's done a very nice job. And this week will be another test, because the guy rushing across from him isn't a joke. So that's where we go this week, because Bosa is not a he's not the guy from the Bears. We'll just say that, right? Like, he's not. I don't know who the guy from the Bears was, but it's not Bosa, right? He didn't go against Montez Sweat like Zach Tom did every snap. Zach Tom went against Sweat every snap.
Did Sweat play? I never heard his name.
No, Zach Tom, I think, gave up maybe a pressure early on in the game.
Yeah, it was a lunch. I know there was lunch.
Yeah, Zach Tom, I think there was one play that I think Montez Sweat, I think Zach Tom tripped over maybe Sean Ryan's feet and he fell down and man, it looked like he got knocked over. Yeah, but I think
he
got tripped.
Trying to level the playing field for Montez.
But it's good that, you know, you got two of your tackles playing at a high level going into this 49ers matchup, because the 49ers, that's where they make their hay, is on the edges. That's how they, like, that's kind of what we want to do on our defenses. You know, that's where the pressure and disruption happens, is on the edges, and we haven't done it. But that is where the 49ers get their work in, is on the edges. So this will be a big matchup for them this week.
So, Blue, Bosa got hurt in that last game, and they don't know if he's going to play. I'm sure he'll try to gut it out, but it's an oblique. Obliques are, you had obliques. I don't have an oblique. You can't pull an oblique that's not there. So when
who
you
said
look at all that,
you can't pull fats? Who was the coach that said that?
Somebody really smart.
There was a coach who said that.
Oh, John Daly.
But it was John Daly did that.
John Daly didn't miss a ton of time. He didn't miss a ton of time with cold muscles. That's for sure. But if you're approaching this game, you're going to say all the right things. You don't want him playing, right? You're all right if Bosa's out, right?
Oh, yeah. I'm certainly not upset about it. I mean, I'll tell you that much. Like, also, if he does play, it depends on, I mean, I don't know which oblique it is, but there's going to be a big deficiency in his power with how he goes about his pass rush moves, right? I mean, there's a lot. The way he rushes, he is a big power rusher, and he torques a lot inside, and he bull rushes up the field and kind of tries to throw guys up the field and rush back into the quarterback after about 3-4 steps. And if you got a badly pulled oblique and you're playing through that, that's going to affect how you're able to move 300-pound men up the field and rush back inside. So even if he does play with it injured, it's going to – I mean, if it's bad and he got removed from the game, he didn't finish the game, it's going to hamper him. So, like, I didn't know that, obviously, so that's good for me to know, talking out of turn there. But I should be paying attention to the 49ers more. Clearly,
yeah,
I should
maybe
be.
Do a little more prep. But,
what's the deal?
So wait a minute. No, we're not doing this. So you watch the film.
Yeah, come on, Blue.
Down to the minutest detail. In fact, you even say, in the moments before you came on the show, I just spun through the film again. We're not going to kill you for not knowing that he's got a pulled oblique. So don't be so hard on yourself.
Okay. And I'm not even sure it's an oblique. In fairness, Blue, I don't even know it's an oblique. That's what it was reported as. But I just remember, at Aaron Donald when he did this, and he had ribs, and Jason's like, he'll be fine. It's like, dude,
I was
wrong. It's not how it works. And Blue, you know this. You blocked him. He is a beast, and he uses strength. And he uses, if he doesn't have that leverage and everything else, he is not going to be Bosa. And that changes the whole dynamic of their defense, and that changes the whole dynamic of how you have to look at adjusting. Are you confident, even if Bosa was 100% healthy, you all right letting him and Zach Tom just battle it out like two bulls in a ring? Or are you helping and chipping and doing that stuff if you're Matt LaFleur?
I'm okay with letting him and Zach Tom battle it out. I think if he's over Sheed, I'd give him a little bit of help. Sheed has tendencies to play a little high at times, and that's what Bosa exposes really well. Because he's, unlike his brother Joey, he plays a lot lower. And what Nick does really well is he's able to expose the guys that play a little bit higher and play with great leverage to work his pass rush move. But, I mean, I still think that Sheed would be okay. You know what I mean? I mean, we look at the playoff game last year. I think he did a nice job last year. So, like, it's not like it's not on tape that he can't do it. He can do it. I mean, it's – even if he's 100%, there's not many tackles in the NFL even today that, like, you want to leave on an island one-on-one with Bosa 100% of the time, right? There's a couple. Tunsil, like, the guy on his own team, Trent Williams, you would probably do it. You know, I'm trying to think of the guys that, I mean, maybe
Sewell,
the kid
maybe,
from Baltimore. I would say Sewell. I'd leave Sewell on an island with him one-on-one.
What about Tausch's guy Christian Darrisaw when he's healthy?
No. I don't think so.
Okay.
No.
It's Tausch's
guy. I think he's good, but I think at times he would need assistance, and that's no knock on any guy. Like, are you gonna let guys just like Myles Garrett tee off on a tackle 30 times a game? Probably not, right? You're gonna help him out a few times a game. It just is what it is. Like, you know, another good left tackle is, I got to play with him, was Rashawn Slater. As good as I think he is, I think he needs help every now and again. That's just what he, I mean, he gave up 2 sacks to Myles Garrett when they played Cleveland. That's life, right? Like, you need help against these top-tier edge rushers. So, like, no matter how good our two guys are playing, a little built-in help never hurts is where I'm trying to get at.
All right, Brian, we want to go. I think we flipped our tackle talk.
We went early today.
Yeah, it's okay. I'm just saying. Now,
so,
I
Blue, before we move off of O-line, Josh Myers, what do you think? How did you think he came back from obviously having the bye and the injury? And how did you think the inside guys played?
I thought they did good. I thought Myers came back. I mean, there was a couple signs of rust with him, but I really think that he brings kind of like a sense of calmness to that group. I think continuity and how he makes the calls and gets everyone on the same page, and I think Jordan obviously trusts him a lot. Right. I mean, there doesn't seem like a bunch of communication happening. And that's a road game in a hostile environment. It seems like one call's getting made and they're all on the same page and they're rolling with it. And that's a testament to the center making the proper ID right away. And they're going. And there were times you could see it from the tape. He and Elton were talking. The two elder statesmen were talking and making adjustments between each other. But that's what you would expect between those two guys, just like the same way Sitton and TJ would do it from across the center to Corey and would be yelling at each other across court, make sure Corey knew what he was doing when he was a rookie. But I thought they did okay. I mean, again, the Bears did a nice job. What the Bears were doing a nice job of, I mean, Jacobs had a nice day, like running the football. There were a lot of big running lanes that were exposed on Chicago. But what they did a good job of Chicago is they did a lot of line movement, a lot of quick slants and things like that, run stunts, that we got beat on a couple times, right? Some good run pressures that they did that they got after us a few times on. But for the most part, I thought our guys did a good job from in pass blocking and run block. I thought it was a good day from them. And people may say, well, then why did the offense sputter?
Did they get any plays?
Sometimes these things. I was watching the first three series. They couldn't have been any different. Like, you watch the first series, and it just looks so effortless. Mm-hmm. Like, they just work right down the field, and you're like, this is going to be a blowout. Like, you see the way they're doing it. And then the second series comes, and you're like, what are we doing here? Then the third series comes, and they're moving the ball again. And like, all right, here we go. And then we get inside the five, and it's just an absolute, like brain fart. And here we go again. And that has nothing to do with like the offensive line, what happened there. Like, I rewatched it over and over again. I'm like, all right, what'd they do wrong here? And it had nothing to do with it. And it's just, and I don't know what, I mean, hey, LaFleur's he's looking at all these things, right? Like, when he goes from series to series, he looks at all these things and he's seeing the defense and he's getting all the reports from up in the box from Steno and from all the analytics guys and what Chicago's doing. And I don't know what those reports were, right? No one really knows what those reports were, but there was a change from what they were doing in that first series to the second series. Then it started to work again in the third series. Then they got away from it down in the red zone. Like, there was definitely a shift in what they did. I mean, they only ran 43 plays or whatever the heck it was. Like, it was like nothing. Yes. They did, like,
crazy.
There wasn't many cracks at the table. So overall, I think the guys had a nice day up front. It's just sometimes you can have a good day and the offense looks like crap, and that's kind of what it was.
Especially when you only get 46 plays on offense, that makes it awfully difficult to get things going. And we'll talk a little bit about the defense coming up, because we have a theory on and we have a first-round pick on the panel. The first-round picks on the defense, not super productive or consistent. And we'll talk a little bit with Brian about the expectations that come with that draft status, because Tausch did not have that draft status. He was a seventh-round pick. But he always...
You love sticking knives in people, don't you? You are such a prodder. You're just a prodder. You're a prodder.
You built a magnificent career.
Blue, does Wilde prod? Does he like to throw subtle little jabs like, well, Tausch, you don't know anything about that, having high expectations, anything like that. Hey, Blue, what about what's his name from Seattle? How many times does he bring up what's his face from Seattle? That's what you do.
I don't even know who you're referring to.
Yeah, exactly.
Bruce
Packer fans, ready for some game day excitement? Well, next time you're at Lambeau, Wilde will jab you, and you can stop by the American Family Insurance Title Townhouse and experience the thrill of making a game-saving play with our interactive Protect the End Zone game. Plus, don't miss out on all the amazing giveaways from exclusive Packers merch to special prizes. It's always a little something for everybody. Visit us at Titletown to make your game day unforgettable. For more info, check out amfam.com/Packers. Dream fearlessly. Insure carefully.
I thought that's what went on in offense.
Boom.
Yeah, I thought that's what you guys did in the offensive line meeting room. I'm just trying
you
to fit in.
You ain't an O-lineman, bruh.
That's
you
true.
You ain't an O-lineman. You want to be.
I am a wannabe. There's no doubt about that. More with Brian Bulaga next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, brought to you by Grassland Butter. Grassland Dairy is Wisconsin. Learn more at grasslandbutter.com.
Hey, new music for you, Blue. Sister Hazel. Love them. Back in the 90s.
Sorry.
I wouldn't even said anything. Jesse brought it up. So, Brian, again, Mark Tauscher never had to worry about the expectations of being a first-round pick. You did. And we can go back farther than just Brian Bulaga's... Brian Gutekunst's first-round picks on defense, and go all the way back to one of our favorite guys and one of your former teammates, Kenny Clark, who has not been super productive this season, right? Then we get to Jair Alexander, Rashawn Gary, Darnell Savage, who's not here anymore. Eric Stokes, Quay Walker, Devontae Wyatt, and Lucas Van Ness. That's a lot of first-round draft capital on the defense. And I don't want to be knee-jerky because of one substandard game, because I think their defense has been pretty good this season. No, we talked about this yesterday. I'm just carrying it through to Brian to get his thoughts. Okay. It's not like the defense has been bad. They were definitely not good enough on Sunday against the Bears. But when you look at the production they've gotten from those guys this season, they have succeeded as a unit despite not getting a ton of productivity from those former first-round picks. Am I looking at this wrong by looking at their draft class at this point, or is that a reasonable question to ask?
I mean, I don't think it's unreasonable to say that, yeah, I mean, the draft capital that has been used, especially the first round on defense, it hasn't been producing the way that you would expect, at least we'll say three of them to do, right? Like, I mean, what'd you name off there? Seven guys, six guys, or whatever it was. You would expect, you know, three of them to be, you know, producing at a very high level. Now, let's, you know, I mean, I kind of rewind and think about it. You know, Jair, you know, obviously has been injured, and, you know, he's had some issues with that. But when he's been out there, I think he's been good. Has he been his, I forgot which year he was his all-pro self. I forgot what year that was. But I think he's been good.
19 or 20 or 20 and 21.
I think he's been good. I think Rashawn prior to the ACL was good. He, obviously, since the ACL, he hasn't been himself. And then we can look at the rest of the guys as well. And I think we can all come to a consensus that, like, they haven't produced for, you know, for what they were drafted and where they were drafted. I mean, a lot of these guys were higher picks, right? I mean, mm-hmm. I guess I don't know where Green Bay's, where they were in the, or where each guy was slotted at. I would imagine, I think a couple guys were high, right? I think a couple guys were
Rashawn
fairly
Gary was
high
12.
Picks.
Lucas was 13. Rashawn 12.
Yeah.
So a couple guys were fairly high. So, but that, I guess that doesn't even matter, right? When you take that many guys on one side of the ball in the first round, you're expecting at least, like I said, three to four of them to hit and for them to be major players on your defense and be second contract guys on your defense. That's why you invest in the draft on them, because you want to draft them and keep them for second contracts. And and that is most likely not going to be the case for the Packers. And when you do that, right, when you draft guys in the first round and you technically don't re-sign them and you miss on them, that does a little damage, because now you have to go out looking for replacements, right? And whether that's in free agency, which will cost you, you know, potentially more money than re-signing your guys, or you have to go spend more capital on that in the draft when you already have 3 or 4 years ago.
Like if Darnell Savage is who you thought he was, you don't sign Xavier McKinney. But because he wasn't, you go get him. And look, I don't want to be critical.
It ends up being a positive.
It ends up being the right decision. But you still, that was not the plan when you drafted Darnell Savage. He was supposed to be a guy who's your guy for the next decade.
Yeah.
Yes,
that ends up being a net positive, but we can't do that at every one of those positions. Like, you can't go pay top dollar at every single position for the first round picks that don't work out. Like, that's it's not sustainable that way, right? So, like, it's good. Like, yeah, it worked out with X because he's an absolute stud, and we obviously a big upgrade in the position. And I mean, it's already paying off in the first season. Like, no complaints. Obviously, no complaints. But, like, you can't go now get a top-tier linebacker in free agency and pay him $13, $14 million a year. And then the following year, go get a three tech for $18 million. Like, you just can't do it. Like, right? It's not sustainable. That's why you have to, you know, draft and develop and resign. And that's how Green Bay's always done it. That's why they've done it, because it keeps you in a very, you know, cap friendly situation that you can continue to do it over and over and over. And when you miss on first round picks and you can't resign them, that has an impact. I mean, it does have it, like, and it's why you see a lot of teams that struggle continue to struggle, because they miss on first round picks. And it's why we're seeing teams like Detroit do really well recently, because they're hitting on those first round picks. And that's a really good example of it, actually, since Dan Quinn's taken over.
So are you
Blue, can you give us a little bit, can you tell us a little bit about where Kenny Clark's at? Because a lot of, I'm not going to say vitriol, but a lot of online stuff and, you know, figuring out where he's been, because he has not had the impact this season. He just got big fat new extension. They don't give third contracts very often. Thank you, Jason, for finishing my sentence.
Welcome.
And they did. And I think I'm a Kenny Clark guy. Mm-hmm. I think he has been a great Packer. He's a Hall of Famer. What do you think of where he's at right now?
Yeah, that was a guy that I missed when I was going through it. I mean, Kenny has been, like you said, a fantastic player since he was a rookie there, right? I mean, I think he's been great. And yeah, he got the new deal, a big deal, this offseason. And this season, I think you're right. He is struggling. And I'm a Kenny Clark fan. I am. So I'm not gonna go in on Kenny Clark, because I think what he is as a football player is more than just kind of the way he's been performing this season in this new role and new scheme that he's been put into. And I'm not blaming the scheme, because I think the scheme is good. So, like, I'm not like excusing anybody from it. But I think it's taken Kenny a little bit to adjust to what he has been good at for, you know, 7 years of his career. I mean, and he's been really good at it. I mean, he's played at such a high level doing what he's done as the nose or whatever position he's been at, you know, in that three down system, that it's not quite the same, you know, when you're playing the shade or a three tech in a true four down scheme. And that takes a lot of time to kind of figure that out. And it's taken him a little bit while longer. And we're seeing that, because it's a lot easier to get double teamed now for him inside. It is a lot easier for him to get three hands on him or four hands on him or a running back running. Like, it is easier. And especially now, since our edge guys are not producing as they should be, it's a lot easier them to focus and get the center and the guard on Kenny. They don't have to go out to the edges. They can secure inside and maintain that pocket inside. So I'm not worried about Kenny. I think Kenny's still a really good player. I think he's going to be a good player. It's just a matter of him figuring it out. And I think he will. I think he's going to be fine. And it's I get it. It's frustrating, because he has been such a high performer for so long, and he gets the new deal, and it just hasn't worked out yet. But it will. He will be fine.
Why do you think it will?
Because I think he's a really good football player, and really good football players normally figure out a way to make it work. And it hasn't worked quite the way probably he's wanted it to yet, but I think over time he will. And there's something about him. I mean, me, you know, knowing him from when he was a rookie, and he came in, he was undersized, you know, really, you know, great hands, great motor, and how he kind of figured his way out, you know, from going against guys like TJ and sitting and like that and figuring out how to play to where he is now. Like, and now he gets a new scheme thrown at him. He's going to figure it out, and good football players do. So that's why I'm confident that he's going to figure it out. But I understand people's, you know, like, what's going on with Kenny, but if there's one guy that I'm not concerned about, it's Kenny. I think Kenny's going to be okay.
I love it. Lucas Van Ness, how do you look at where his development is? Because when Preston gets traded, I'm thinking, oh, you got the 13th pick. Pick swap guy. Iowa guy, tough, physical. And he's not even getting many reps. I mean, Cox is getting as many reps as he is. Where do we see him in this rotation, and how do you view where he's at in his second year?
Yeah, I mean, I'm thinking that, you know, when they traded Preston, they thought they had, you know, a pretty good situation with Van Ness, and, you know, obviously that he would be ready to step into a much larger role than what, you know, what they were giving him. And it just, I don't think he is comfortable yet in the role that they're asking him to do. I just, it looks like right now he is very, one dimensional as a rusher. He takes guys down the middle and then tries to fall off late inside. And there's really not much else to it. Right. And while that may be a good starting point for DNs at the beginning of the game to take guys on down the middle, test them with power, if that's all you consistently do, you're just not going to win. Like, it's hard to win that way as a DN in the NFL. So his variety as a pass rusher on the edge right now, to me, is just very limited. And does that mean he can develop more? I mean, I'm sure he can. I guess, and I'm not a coach, I'm not in the building, I don't know anything about it, but I'd like to see him take reps over a guard in pass rushing situations and see how he would do. I would like to see him
I'm
kick
on board
inside.
With that.
He did it in Iowa.
Love it.
He would move inside at Iowa.
I mean, I think that would be interesting to see how he would fare in that situation. But again, I'm no D-line expert, but yeah,
I want more Carl Brooks, though, Blue. I want more Carl Brooks.
I agree. I mean, listen, there's guys that are, when they get their opportunities, are doing good things, right? There's guys that are doing good things. They just don't get tons of opportunities. And there's the guys that are getting a bunch of opportunities, and it's just not happening. Right. Like, I was trying my hardest for the first how many weeks coming on with you guys and with Homer saying it's going to get better. Don't worry. It's going to get better. It's going to get like I tried and it just hasn't. And I don't know. I don't have any reason why it hasn't. I don't know. I can't give you an answer. It just hasn't. And I think where we're at right now is as good as we're probably going to get. Sure, there may be games that are better than others where the pass rush is a little bit better, or maybe they get home a little bit more or create more pressure. But like for the season, I think we're at where we're at, right? And where guys are or where they are, like I said, maybe there's games that are better than others. But I don't think the pass rush is going to get better over the season. Like, it's not going to be like all of a sudden turned on and you're going to see something crazy over the next 6-7 weeks, right? It doesn't work that way. But from Van Ness's standpoint, like, I just feel like little one-dimensional at this point. Little one-dimensional, and I think
he's a one-trick pony as we sit here today. Yeah. I thought when he came out of Iowa, he is just a bull. And you saw him just out-muscle. And it wasn't like he was just beating like Bowling Green's tackle or somebody else. He was beating guys that were getting drafted with his power. Ohio State's left tackle. Mm-hmm. You saw that, and I thought that's a good floor for him. And that you can play in this league if you're that. But to be the guy, you have to develop some counters. And it sounds like you're seeing that he has not developed those counters yet. It's all still power.
Yeah, it hasn't come to him yet. Like, what I would love to see him start doing is more of a quick bull rush shock to like arm over or a chop or like just
hand
something.
Swipes. Yep.
Yeah, just something, because right now like people are just sitting on the bull rush, right? And they're absorbing it. And by the time he works his way back to the quarterback, the ball's gone. So like, it's just, he's got to start developing counter moves to the bull rush.
Yep. All right. Last one for me, Blue. Quay Walker. He's another guy that there's been a lot of consternation about, first round pick. What do you see when you turn on the film of Quay Walker? That good, huh?
Well, high praise.
Like, there's games where I've watched that I've really liked what he's done. Like, there's really good things on tape, and then there's times from the game Sunday that like he's just missing guys, like. He's missing guys in the hole, like running backs. He has them dead to rights in the hole, and he just will miss a tackle. And like, I get it. There's guys miss tackles from time to time, but those things kind of show up, you know, throughout a game, and they have a little bit too much of a pattern to them. The thing about him is that he's a very athletic linebacker. Like, he has all the tools and traits that you're looking for in a linebacker. Like, I think he's super physical. I think he plays with an edge. He can run with tight ends. Like, we've seen him, he can do that. I mean, there's times he does get lost in space and coverage at times, but he can run with guys, which I think is very impressive in today's game, because not many guys can do it. But there's just times in the run game, he just gets lost in the fray, right? Like, he picks gaps wrong, he fills wrong, like he gets lost in the bodies. And when you're a linebacker and you get lost in the bodies, there's very big glaring holes in your run fits, and that's kind of what has happened with him at times throughout the season. And and again, I don't. That's kind of been, I think, a lot of people's. If I hear Packers Twitter correct, that seems like that's been a lot of people's issues with him since he was a rookie. Like, all the absolute tools as a football player. Like, and you've seen him kind of grow on this trajectory as a player. Like, all the physical tools. Like, has everything, but it just seems like when things are going, like, things just kind of break down from time to time. And in this league, like, time to time isn't okay. Like, it's got to be very rare at that linebacker position that things break down, because, like, you're the last line of defense before runs bust into the secondary. And then once they get into the secondary, I mean, that's where bad things happen for defenses, right? When running backs are running loose on your safety. So, yeah. I don't know. I mean, is this his last year on his deal, or has he got one more?
I think he's got one.
He's got one more, but this is also fifth-year option decision time coming up in the spring.
Oh, they're not giving him the fifth-year option. No, they're not giving him it.
Yeah.
I wouldn't think so either. They did not give it to Eric Stokes this past May. Do you give it? We'll get into whether or not you give it to Devontae Wyatt another time. Since Tausch took over, and we ran through disappointing defensive player this season, disappointing defensive player this season, disappointing defensive player this season, to end our time with you, I would like to end on an uplifting note, if I may. How much better do you feel about Jordan Love after that game? I thought the biggest thing to take away from that game, other than them finding a way to win, was that he looked like Jordan Love again. Did he look like Jordan Love to you again when you watched the tape?
Yeah. I mean, the way he was moving around in the pocket, stepping up into throws, the velocity on the ball, right? Like, I mean, I get he overthrew the one down. It was a pick. I get that. That was just a bad ball.
Yeah.
But I mean, some of the other throws where he was stepping up through the pocket and delivering strikes, like, that's what we're used to seeing. And to me, that's very, you know, relieving for, you know, us casual fans that he's able to move the way we're used to seeing him move, because that's a big part of his game as a player. I mean, not that he's a running quarterback, but he can get out in space and move when he needs to. And because he's always like, he gets out into space, but he's looking to throw the football. And when he was injured, he was like, yeah, he was looking to throw the football, but he was just looking to get rid of it, and bad things were happening. Now he's looking to deliver a strike on the move, and that's what he did the other day. So I'm very encouraged by it. And listen, at all costs, keep him healthy at all costs. Like, the guys just need to know, like, especially up front, like, whatever we need to do going forward, like, we got to keep people off of him. Like, he needs to stay the way he is right now. Yep. The rest of the way, because if they're able to do that, like, I get there's a lot of things we need to clean up offensively, and the red zone is like a big area of concern. Like, that's a huge area now that, like, I don't understand what's happening down there. Like, it's like the lights shut off when we get inside the 20. But if he's able to stay healthy, like, this team can, like, do some damage. So, like, I'm very optimistic about it.
Brian, we got to you earlier than we ever have in history, and we kept you longer than we've ever kept you in history.
17. What happened?
Hey, the dude's good. We like putting good content out. Blue brings us good content. Blue, you're the best, buddy.
You're the best. We appreciate you, man. Nope. Thanks.
No problem, guys. Take care.
Now I can't wait to hear you and Wildy on WTMJ break down the California Congressional Districts.
Whoa, Nelly!
California.
Better have some Tito's available.
Pour me in, coach. I'll listen to that. From a seat in the stands to the best seat on the couch, root for your favorite team with your favorite team spirit. Stack a spicy, salt the rim of a Tito-rita, take home the win with a Tito's, and whatever your heart desires, you're calling the game. You change up your roster, wash that lucky jersey, as long as you make Tito's your first-round bottle pick. Whose house? Tito's house. Find cocktail recipes for every fan at titosvodka.com. Crafted to be savored responsibly.
The 10:30 hour starts in 2 minutes. It's Wildy and Tausch.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand.